Hello, welcome to a special episode of Culture Shock Podcast. My name is Stephen Adeboye, and on this episode, I was fortunate to listen to a keynote from Kobe Springers. And for those who are not fully aware of who she is a brand expert with 20 years under her belt. She's been able to work with P. Diddy, Mariah Carey, Eminem, and a few others that you might be familiar with. She has a great background in terms of where she started from London, but also maneuvered herself from the US and across the world. So this is a good podcast I think you guys are going to enjoy. Let me know your thoughts, and yeah, enjoy, guys.
To teach here, I said actually there's some key pointers that I think we can pull out today for you to learn how to take your brand global when you're an SME, when you're not a big corporate, and when you're on small budgets. How many people would like to know that? Yes. So, if you haven't worked it out already, I like interaction. Just standing here and just talking at you, it doesn't really work for me. So can we interact today?
Yes.
Oh, I love you guys, but that wasn't everyone. Can we interact today?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, so, how do you take your brand global? We're going to do this thing today where I say, I am, and you say, my brand. Should we test it?
Yes.
I am
my brand.
Oh, you sound good, but that was rubbish. Okay. Let's do it one more time. I am
my brand.
Lovely. One more time. I am
my brand.
Good. So in order to take your brand global, the first thing that you need to recognize is whether you're the face of the organization or whether or not you are the person, you are in the business of one initially. Especially if you haven't got a big conglomerate behind you. Everybody agree with me? Yeah. How many people already know that they are their brand by a show of hands? Wonderful. Okay. And the rest of you, you're here because? Just thought I'd ask. All right. So if you're working for someone, you are in the business of one. You are your brand. If you are running your own organization, you are in the business of one. You are your brand. I am
my brand.
So what we're going to do today is we're going to break that down. And I'm going to use my career as an example, because the question I get asked on social media a lot is, Q, how did you do it? That is the number one question that people ask. So I'm going to use my career to break down how we take our brand global. But I'm going to give all the latecomers a minute. Should we just give them a minute? Should we look at them as well? Why? Take a minute. We're going to have some fun this afternoon. You ready for some fun?
Yes.
Oh, no. Come on. Are you ready for some fun?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. I am
my brand.
I am
my brand.
So, when I was 18 years old, I loved all things music. I was super into the urban scene, and that was my heartbeat. My backstory, if I had time to tell you, was that I kind of trained as a dancer from the age of 4 to 17. I went to the Royal Academy of Classical Ballet. Oh, okay. And it was wonderful. I know, I was slimmer then. Don't get me started. But I got to 17, I had an injury, and that career was over. But I still loved all things music. And so when I started to think about my second career, i.e. brand marketing, one of the first things I knew, and what I want to share with you today, is it is imperative to reposition your brand. There are so many of us in this room who are extremely talented, we're extremely gifted, we've got great products, but if you are not in the right place, you will simply die broke and talented. So the principle that you have to reposition your brand is the first thing that's important to build a brand. I see people all the time and they're like, Hubie, how? How did you go to New York and work with Puffy? And I did this just after my degree, and this was the very simple story. There was an internship called Mountbatten. It still exists for anybody under the age of 30. Mountbatten. It's from Lord Mountbatten, and he funds this internship program. And you have the ability to go to the States, and now I think they also do Tokyo and they do Sydney as well. But, you know, I loved all things music, and so I went off to New York. Now, why is this important? It's important because a lot of the time we say we want to build a brand, but we're lying to ourselves. That's the truth. Because we want to build our brand, but stay in our yard. Or we want to build our brand, but do it from South London. Or we want to build our brand, but just stay in London. You have to reposition your brand for success. I am
my brand.
So what did that do for me? I had a simple principle, which is if I am going to start from the bottom, how many millennials are in the room by a show of hands? Okay, Pickney. You have to start from the bottom. Don't believe the hype on Instagram. It doesn't happen in 30 seconds or 1 minute live. You have to start from the bottom. And I knew if I was going to start from the bottom, I wanted to learn from the best in the industry. And so I pitched to Puffy, and this is how my pitch went. You don't know me, but what I'm prepared to do is what you're no longer prepared to do. I will work 24 hours, 48 days a week. There aren't even 48 days a week. That's how far I was prepared to go. I lived in New York. I earned $400 a month. I lived in a cockroach-infested yard. With my people in it. Actually, if I was at Oxford, I wouldn't say yard, would I? Cockroach-infested apartment. But I was working for the best in the industry. I am...
My brand.
So I was with Puff for about 3 years. Back in those days, bear in mind, this was 2001. I arrived in New York the day before 9/11. Somebody said, "Oh God." I know, I gave my mother a heart attack. She tried to call me, she couldn't get hold of me for 3 days. I slept rough on the street because I couldn't leave Manhattan. I didn't even know Manhattan was an island until that happened. Anyway, I was about 22 at the time, working for Puffy for about 3 years. And I was at one of his black and white parties. Anybody over the age of 40, by a show of hands? Yeah, my people, okay. So for those of us that are grown and sexy, back in the day, Puff used to do this thing called the black and white party, and you'd do it at Hilton's or we'd do it in LA. And this particular year, I was part of the team that was doing it in Los Angeles. And at the party was Justin Timberlake. Now, I had one of two options, and what I chose to do in this moment changed the trajectory of my career. I could have seen Justin and been like, "Oh, that's cool, yeah, that's Justin." Or I could have gone up and said, "Hi, my name's Kubi Springer. You don't know me, but I'm a fan of what you do, and I love your choreography." And he went, "Word?" Typical American. And we ended up striking up a conversation, and long story short, Eddie Morales and Marty Cadaloki, who were at the time Justin's choreographers, were looking to come over to the UK as part of Justin's Justified tour. Now, when we struck up a conversation, Justin said these words to me. "You're from Europe." You know the Americans, right? The UK is Europe, isn't it? It's all about the same thing. Anyway, "You're from Europe. Why don't you do it?" I was 23, I had never had a freelance contract, and if they could have smelled them, they probably wouldn't have given it to me. But I said, yes. I am...
my brand.
So the next thing you need to do, once you have repositioned your brand, is you need to say yes. There are opportunities every day. Every day there are opportunities. The question is, do you have the courage to say yes? Because there are opportunities every day. You're here today, there is an opportunity. Do you have the courage, the gumption, to get out of your seat and to change the trajectory of your career or business? And in that moment at 23, I said yes. That contract led me coming back home, and I did a number of entertainment-based contracts. I launched Mariah Carey's Mimi, I did Eminem's 8 Mile, and then I got the phone call from Nike. And Nike were looking to combine music and sport. And one of the things I learned in that moment is the power of your contacts. I always say to people who work for me, it is who you know that gets you through the door, but it is what you know that keeps you there. So preparation is important, but if you don't have the contacts to open the door, what's going to happen? Now, the reality is there is somebody in this room that can open a door for you. The question is, are you even talking to the people right or left? Do you have a customer relationship system in place, CRM system, so that when you get the contacts today, you will go back to your home or your office, enter it into your CRM system, and follow up? For those of you who would like a freebie, a free CRM system, there is one called Get Response. Give you a minute to write it down. It's called Get Response. It's completely free, and you can use it to input all of the contacts that you were building up over the years. Your contacts are your currency. I'm going to say it again. Your contacts are your currency. So utilize the CRM system and be strategic in your follow-ups. Because what happened with me is that Nike turned around and said, we love the fact that you have relationships with all of these entertainment artists and we're looking to combine music and sport, and they gave me the first Nike contract I had. At that point, I was 25. Someone say, I am.
My brand.
I am.
My brand.
I am.
My brand.
So once I did the contract with Nike, and this is how your thread of life will work. Let me back up a little bit. When I was at university, when I was, 18, 19, I had a dream, right? How many people, by a show of hands, have a dream that scares the hell out of you? Please, everybody, put your hand up, I beg. You've got a dream that scares you. What are you doing? It needs to scare you. It needs to scare you. So I had a dream at 18 years old, and I really, 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 really wanted to work for the MOBO Awards. But I didn't want to go in as an intern. I wanted to go up as a boss chick. And so at this time, I was 25. By this time, I'd done Nike, I'd done Puff, I'd done Justin, I'd done Mariah, Eminem, and that was it. And I contacted the MOBO Awards, again, that gumption. Don't wait for anybody to give you anything. It is not going to happen. Pick up the phone. Don't just DM them and pray. Jesus gave you common sense. Pick up the phone. So, I picked up the phone, because back then there wasn't even Facebook. Someone say, I am. She's old. Facebook. Anyway, I digress. I picked up the phone, I spoke to the HR department, and I pitched in why I thought I was qualified to go in as a project manager for the MOBO Awards. And here was my pitch. I didn't talk about me, I talked about them. And I said, right now, MOBO is at a crossroads. For those of you over 40, you're gonna remember this time. It was a time when reggae artists were out there doing what reggae artists do. And mainstream UK wasn't liking it, and they were calling them homophobic, and all sorts of things were happening. And I used the opportunity, what was happening within the market, understanding the market currency, understanding the market trends. And I didn't pitch me, I pitched opportunity for MOBO. You see the difference? A lot of the time people come to me and they want to do business with me, and they're talking about themselves. Newsflash, I don't care. And nobody does. The reality is we are innately selfish human beings. What we care about is what can you do for me? So before you pick up the phone and speak to anybody, research them. Research their competitors. Research the marketplace. And then pitch the opportunity for them. By default, you will get what you want. So I pitched the opportunity to Kanye, and she agreed. But she also agreed because of the power of contacts. Remember, I was telling the story when I was at uni and I really, really, really wanted to work for MOBOs. Or when I was at uni and I really, really wanted to work for MOBOs, I did a report about Kanye King being a powerful black woman. And I sent it to the office. Little did I know the woman in HR had read that report. The power of contacts. The power of dreaming and being strategic. I knew at some point I wanted to pitch to Kanye. I knew I couldn't do it at 18 or 19, but at some point, so I sent information 4 years in advance, which was a prerequisite to them understanding who I was. Someone say, I am.
My brand.
Okay, so what do you need to do? Number one, you need to pick up the phone. Number two, you need to think the long game, not the Instagram 30-second, 1 minute go live game. The long game. What are you gonna do today that you are going to strategically make steps for 2 years or 3 years time? So I pitched the card, I got the job, and I had to say yes again. Because Kanye turned to me and she said, I don't want you to be a project manager, I want you to be head of marketing for MOBOs. I was 26. So it was coming back out of here again. And it stunk real good this time. Because those days, MOBOs was on the BBC, it had MasterCard, it just lost MasterCard. And my responsibility was to go in and do partnership deals for big brands. Now, I put up here the importance of knowing your story. When you know your story, you can get anybody to say yes if your story aligns to their brand values. And so how did I secure £1.3 million worth of sponsorship deals for Mobo? I owned the story of Mobo being about black music of origin. And I understood the market trends, and I went in and I pitched to BT, and I pitched to Western Union, and I managed to get £1.3 million, not because I am good, but because I understood the story. What is your brand story? How authentic is your brand story? What are your brand values? And what brand values do you have that can align with somebody else to get them to say yes? I am
my brand.
No, I don't believe you. I am
my brand.
So I was at Mobo. The way that Mobo works is that you kind of work every hour that Jesus gave you for about 6 months. It is crazy. And then the remaining 6 months, you go down to only a few days a week. And I was a freelancer, and on my kind of remaining 6 months, I got this phone call. Gentlemen, say yeah, yeah. Gentlemen, say yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Okay. So I asked the gentleman to say yeah, yeah, because they'll understand this story. I got this phone call, and this chap said to me, oh, hi, you know, is this Scooby Springer? And I was like, yes, it is. And he was like, I'm Rio Ferdinand's commercial agent. And I was like, okay, that's really nice. And then he said, you know, we're looking for somebody to help us brand Rio beyond a footballer. And I was like, yeah, that's amazing. Wonderful. Put the phone down. Called up my dad. I was like, Dad, who's Rio Ferdinand? Honestly, I knew who, you know, don't let me get me started about who I knew. I didn't know who Rio was. So, once Daddy had schooled me, gentlemen say, I am
my brand.
Yeah, gentlemen, ladies, shut up now. Gentlemen, I am
my brand.
Good. Once my dad had told me who Rio was, I basically went and did the pitch. Now, I haven't got this on here, but you know, something about you guys is telling me to tell you this. When you prepare a pitch, prepare to do it anywhere. So at this stage, I think I was 28 or 29. I was so naive. And I prepared this pitch. It was like a PowerPoint presentation. I'm going to go and see Rio and do it. And then I got asked to go to an address, which I didn't know. And it turned out to be an airport. And I was like, where's the boardroom? I had to get on a private jet with Rio, and I had to do the pitch on the plane. Yeah. So when you prepare your presentation so you can prepare and deliver anywhere. At any point, in any moment, you should be able to tell me who you are, what you do, and why I should give a goddamn. The only reason why the latter is important is because I want to know what can you do for me. I don't want to know who you are. So who are you, what do you do, and why should someone care are the three things you need to be able to master so you can pitch anywhere. So I pitched to Rio on his private jet, and again, it was just trailing. And I got asked off the bat, so let me back up. When I did the contract with Rio, we did this thing called Rio's World Cup Wind-Ups, which was on ITV. My job was to do the deal between Rio and ITV and to get all of the partnership deals within it. Off the back of that, I started to get phone calls from other footballers. You know, I met Beckham and Lampard and Rooney. Back then, now this is 2006, if I remember, World Cup 2006. So I started to get these phone calls from footballers. And my older brother, who loves football, was like, oh my God, it's Beckham, you've got to do it. Now, it's very important. As you build your brand, opportunities will come left, right, and center, not every opportunity you take. It is important to have diversification, but you need to have diversification and remain on brand. I have spent 22 years focused on fashion, luxury, lifestyle, and entertainment. That is it. So when they were asking me, even Beckham of the Zeros, to do football brand marketing, the answer was no. I did Rio's because it was a deal between Rio Ferdinand and ITV. Side note, experts get paid much more money than generalists. Become an expert. So, I said yes to Rio, but I said no to the other footballers to the absolute disgust of my dad and my brothers, and I kept on my little line of building a brand within entertainment, fashion, and luxury. I got to about 30, and when I was 30, I had this breakdown. I felt empty. I felt like I ticked off all the boxes of people I wanted to work for, but I felt empty. And I didn't know why. And what I realized is that going to the VIP parties and working for all of these guys, it was cool, it looked great on my CV, but it wasn't purpose. It didn't fulfill my soul. And so let me back up a little bit. When I was at MOBO, one of the beautiful things that Kanye King did for me is she put me on the circuit. I kind of got thrown out there on the speaking circuit and started to do press. I ticked lots of boxes. I was under 30. I was female and I was black. Oh, the Guardian wants to talk to you. I would go out and I would do the speaking circuit. And when I got to 30, what I realized is the reason why I was empty is because my soul was yearning to do this. To give of myself, not just take and look cute. And so in that moment, I said, I want to go to places in the world where there aren't people doing what I'm doing and teach them how to build their brands. Now, I've been global since 19, but in that moment at 30, I made a conscious decision that actually go global was on my radar. Now, how did I do it as the first thing? Number one is I said, I need to partner. Nobody can do this alone. You have to partner. Couple of ways to do it, jump on LinkedIn. I didn't do it on LinkedIn because there was no LinkedIn there. There was a phone book called the Yellow Pages. Yeah, but you're not privileged in the digital world. I love the millennials. Jump on LinkedIn and connect with people in different markets. Now here's a caveat. If you want to do business internationally, don't jump on a plane straight away because you'll just waste money. Okay, start doing things using, you know, Zoom or using Skype. Start making your relationships happen using the World Wide Web before you make a decision to jump on the plane. The first International Fashion Week that I worked with was in Jamaica, Caribbean Fashion Week. And my pitch to them was very simple. I want to do some webinars, in effect, it wasn't a webinar. I want to do some video conferencing with your designers to prove to you that I am good at what I do. Note, my portfolio already had Nike, Rio, Puffy, Justin, Eminem, Mariah, and my language was, I want to do some video conferencing to prove to you that I am good enough for your designers. Humble yourself. Rio told me this story years ago, and I use it all the time. I use it on myself when I'm feeling really scared or frustrated. And the story goes like this. At every stage of your career, it's about divisions. So he used the analogy of being a footballer. When you're a footballer and you start, you know, your little league and you're kicking the ball and you start at the bottom of the little league division and then you get to the top of that division. And then what do? You jump up to the next division. But when you jump up to the next division, you are at the bottom of that new division. And then maybe you're the under 16s and you're kicking your ball and you're doing your thing and you're working your way up and you get to the top of that division. But when you're at the top of that division, you jump up and where are you? At the bottom of the next division. And so now you're under 18s and you're doing what you're doing and you're kicking your ball and you're doing your thing and you get to the bottom of top of that division, you jump up and what happens? You're at the bottom of the new division. And so it goes as you go up the Premier League. It's the same thing with building your brand. So the reason why I humbled myself when I spoke to Caribbean Fashion Week is because I hadn't done big fashion shows. I was at the next division, but I was at the bottom of that new division. So important to know, what season are you in? What division are you playing in? And what part of the division are you working in right now? Because you might have big chests and be the biggest and the baddest in Southeast London. Jump out of that division. If you find yourself at the top of your division, my older brother used to say to me, I don't want to be a king amongst feet. Now that's not about geographics, that's about mindset. If you are the best person in your circle, it's time to jump to the new division. And when you jump to the new division, you're going to be at the bottom of that new division. So I humbled myself and I made the pitch and I said, you know, I want to do these video calls and I'm going to prove to your designers that I'm good. And long story short, I got my first international contract that way. When I wanted to go into Southeast Asia, a lot of people said to me, why Southeast Asia, Kubi? And I was like, because there's nobody there that looks like me. Be unafraid to stand out. Having a big afro is on purpose. I work in Dubai and Saudi and Malaysia and Indonesia. I stand out. Your differentiation is your strength. I'm going to say it again. Your differentiation is your strength. When I go in and I pitch, and I wanted to go to Southeast Asia, I contacted Oxford University's consultancy firm. Again, watch the dots. The founder of the consultancy firm is a chap called Dr. Stuart Cooley. Dr. Stuart Cooley was somebody who taught me when I was in New York on the Mountbatten program before I got my internship for Puffy. Your contacts are your currency, right? Everybody going to have a CRM system by the end of today?
Yes.
Your contacts are your currency. So I contacted Dr. Stuart Cooley and I said, you know, I would love to partner with you know, your company and Oxford University. And he said, why? Brilliant. And I said, we're living in a disruptive world. If you want the norm, male, pale, white, and stale, you'll get the norm. But if you want something different, I'm the solution. I am
my brand.
I am
my brand.
You have to own your difference. And you have to reposition your brand even when you're cacking it and be the only person that is like you within that arena and own who you are in that arena. And so I got to Southeast Asia by doing strategic partnership. Now I've been for the last decade, I'm now 40, say yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody over 40, you know my life. Say yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm over 40 and the bum's still perky. Anyway. You know what? When my husband sees me on stage, he just cringes, you know. But just, you know, side note. So, one of the key takeaways, having done global brand marketing now for the last 10 years, is when you're looking to take your brand global, don't think global, think global. You need to create a localized strategy as part of your global strategy. Far too often we make assumptions. I was working with a brand from Turkey, this brand here, they're called Baros, and they wanted to penetrate the UK market and they wanted to penetrate the American market. This is 2016. And they said to me, oh, you know, we want to do business in New York. No, first of all, they said, we want to do business in America. I was like, America's 52 states. Like, which state in America? Localize. Then they said, okay, well, we want to do business in LA. Have you seen the dress? So I was like, well, your product is not going to work in the heat in LA. Localize. So we ended up doing a brand audit for them, and we ended up launching their brand in London and in New York. So I say this to you because you can make assumptions when you're looking to take your brand global. Just because we in London as black women think one way and behave one way doesn't mean it happens the same way in the States. Doesn't mean it happens the same way for black women in Paris. Doesn't mean it happens the same way for black women who are in Dubai. So it's very, very important that when you're developing your global strategy that you don't go with assumptions and that you take the time out to study the cultural nuances. When I first started doing business in Malaysia, I was like, why is everybody taking their shoes off? They take their shoes off in the office. They take their shoes off in the office. And I like 4-inch heels. So my mind quickly said, okay, you know what? Cultural nuances. It's no longer about whether or not you have the skill sets. The reality is if someone takes the meeting, they've gone on your LinkedIn, they've seen your website, they know you're qualified. What will secure the deal is, do you understand the unsaid? 80% of communication is nonverbal. What is happening that's not really happening that's going to close the deal or get the deal? Study cultural nuances. I am.
I'm right.
And I want to leave you with this. So this September, I decided to really challenge myself. I was like, okay, the agency's been going for 12 years. I've been doing this for 22 years. I need a big challenge. And I decided that I didn't want to launch just one designer in London. Why would you do that, Cube? We do that every year. We're going to launch 9 designers. And so we had designers from Dubai, Iran, Malaysia, Nigeria. I can't remember, look on the website. We had 9 designers from all around the world, only one UK designer. Now, here's the challenge, and this is what I want you guys to really take away. It is very important at every step in your career to not sit on your laurels and to keep challenging yourself and to keep surrounding yourself with people who are going to challenge your brand to go further and go higher. I wanted the first launch of this brand to be at Aston Martin. Dream big, right? And I wasn't like just any old Aston Martin. I was like, I want it Aston Martin Park Lane. If we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And so I sat down with my team and I was like, okay, how are we going to get Aston Martin to say yes? Aston Martin are, as you will probably know, a quintessentially British brand focused on men with a lot of money. And we had a fashion brand with unknown designers from around the world, from places like Nigeria and Iran. Somebody say Jesus. And so what I realized is that my job at every stage and your job is to understand where the trends are going and to look at how your brand can fit in within market trends. So because of the Me Too movement and because of the gender pay gap and because of the rise of women in business, women, side note, we have 20 trillion worldwide spend. Women, 20 trillion worldwide spend. And so I did the market research and I went into the pitch saying to them, if you continue to serve the customers that you're serving, they're going to die. And the next generation are women that are coming up with hashtags that says boss chick. And we're worth 20 trillion worldwide spend. I think you, Aston Martin Park Lane, should take my event for London Fashion Week. Do you agree? What did they say?
Yes.
I am.
I am.
Amen to that. Okay. So I want to recap very quickly for you. Number one, if we're taking notes, don't DM me later and be like, what did you say, Q? Because I won't tell you. Let's recap. Number one, you need to make sure that you reposition your brand. Number two, you need to make sure that you say yes. There is always opportunity. Say yes. Even when you're cacking yourself, say yes. Number three is that you need to have strategic partnerships. You cannot do this alone, but make sure your brand is ready for the partnership. Number four, your contacts are your currency. Please download GetResponse or any of the free apps that are available and nurture your contacts, value your contacts, see your contacts as your currency, not your customers. Not your customers. Your contacts are your currency. And then lastly, make sure that you are understanding what's happening within the market. By the show of hands, how many people do not watch the news? Why? Because let me tell you what you're going to tell me. Because it's depressing. Because it's always war. Because Trump's an idiot and I hate his orange face. Here's the reality. If you are not watching what is happening in your industry, if you're in the fashion sector, you should be downloading the Business of Fashion. If you are in hardcore B2B, you should be watching Bloomberg, etc. If you are not studying what is happening in your sector, how can you seize the opportunity? You don't even know what the opportunities are. So please, when you watch the news through the lens of opportunity, not terror and fear, but opportunity. All right, Normally, they have a stool for me, but can I grab one of these chairs? Is that all right? No, you're not talking to me. Is that all right?
Yes.
Good. Okay. Mr. Technician, can we get a second mic? Now, when I do speaking engagements, I don't like to just stand up and talk at you. I like to answer your questions. So is there anybody that has a question that you'd like me to answer? Okay. Let me be clear. I come here every year. But let me just say this, just for anybody else. I come here every year to support the team because one of the things that I am passionate about is that people who look like me get access to the information that people who look like me can't always afford. So I beg. I'm here. Gentlemen, is there any mics? There's a mic here. You'll take the mic. They don't know how long I've got, so I'm just going to stay on the stage so they kick me off. Okay, go ahead. So start off, please, by introducing your name and what you do. Why are you looking like, didn't I just tell you to take opportunity? And then you don't want to introduce your name.
My name is Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
My name is Mark. Mm-hmm. I'm from West London. My question was, how do you get past gatekeepers? Because you said you contact big corporations like Nike and Google, big corporations. How do you get past gatekeepers? Because normally if you contact these companies, if I said I want to speak to the CEO, I'll get blocked.
Cool. Good question. I'll tell this in a story, if that's all right. I'm full of them. I'm old, right? You know when you meet your grandma, she's got pure stories. Get in there. So I'll tell this right story. My husband, when I met my husband, he hates this story, but I'm going to tell you anyway. When I met my husband 9 years ago, he's younger than me. He's got a bit of a toy boy. And when I met him, and when I met him, he wasn't bowling like he is now, okay? side note for all the ladies, and I want the sisters who are single to get this, okay? You groom a king, it ain't handed to you. I'm going to say it again, you groom a king, it ain't handed to you. All right, so, all the people clapping, they're watching relationships. My husband, when we first met, he was like, I want to be in a position when our daughter's older, or our children's older, for me to be able to be in a room where when I ask for £1 million, nobody flinches. And if I thought our dreams break, like I prayed to God for a man that dreamed bigger than me.
Oh my word.
Jesus. So he turned to me and he was like, I'm going to join a private members club so I can get in the room. So I was like, oh babe, that's amazing. And he was like, anyway, so how much did it cost? He was like, 10 grand a year. I said, oh. Remember I said, like, we weren't rolling like we are now. And so I said to him, I didn't discourage sisters' head of language. I said, babe, that sounds phenomenal. What can I do to support that dream? Head of language? Yes. In my head, I was thinking, oh. And he turned to me and he said, we had a car, and he said, babe, I want to sell the car and I'm going to walk everywhere and save the money. My husband walked for 6 months. It's a true story. You can ask him, you can DM him. It's a true story. He walked for 6 months to save up the £10,000 to get in the room. Now we fast forward 9 years, and I say this not to show off, but just to reinforce the sacrifice. We now live out of London in a 7-bedroom house. Our daughter goes to a private school. I drive a Porsche, she drives a Bentley. He grew, this is why I'm marrying you now. He grew for 6 months because he understood that you need to reposition your brand. You need to get in the room by any means necessary. I love the fact that we're here today, but honestly, I want to see you at Devonshire House. I want to see you at Soho Square. I want to see you at the Bloom Club doing business. And if you have to walk every day to get in the room, you walk. That's what you do, you walk. So, to answer your question, you walk. excellent talk. Side note, I'm getting hot underneath this.
Anyway. Hi, everyone. So thanks for your excellent and fabulous talk. My name is Masonde Luteta. I'm the founder of Black Pen Writers, which is the only writers group specifically for African and Caribbean women in the UK.
Love it.
I was looking for a group, couldn't find it, looked online. In America, I was thinking...
I didn't ask you one of that. Get to your question. I'm going to get...
sorry. So my first question is about clarity. How do I ensure the clarity of my words?
Stop. Right there. Don't even ask the second part. You have 60 seconds to make an impression as to whether or not somebody wants to do business with you, or whether or not they're going, no, I wonder what I'm going to serve for dinner tonight. So when you introduce yourself, you have something very unique and powerful for this audience. Hone in on the message. Hi, my name is, and I have a writer's group for black women that can help you in A, B, and C way. That's it. Okay? Communication, brand communication is all about being concise with your messages. This is where Twitter does come in. Anything you want to say, pretend you're going to post it on Twitter first. This is a trick that I gave to a young person who was studying with me. Pretend you're going to post it on Twitter. And if you can't put it in 140 characters, the old Twitter. I told you I'm grown. Don't judge me. Then maybe you need to word it differently. I do an exercise when I work with people when I say, tell me who you are and what you do in 60 seconds. Nobody wants a dissertation. We don't care. So that's how you do it. You narrow down your language. Okay, part B to your question was?
What I'm actually doing is I'm writing a film, so I'm looking for potential cast and crew for that. So what would your advice be in terms of kind of networking and finding the right people?
Cool. Stop telling people what you're looking for. Tell them what you're offering. Does that make sense?
It does.
So we do it a lot. We say, you know, oh, hi, my name is, and I'm looking to do a film, and this is what I'm looking for. Nobody cares. What people care about is what can you do for them? So what is the benefits of what you are offering for a potential casting crew? Just one benefit. Go ahead. What's the benefit?
The opportunity to be seen.
Where? To how many people? What kind of... Like, you know how big that statement is? Narrow your message.
Well, when I have the funding, then I'll have...
No, stop, sis. We do this all the time. I know you'll be my puppet. If you came to my workshop, I am my brand on the 27th of October. This is what I do with you. I squeeze you. See the plug? I've been doing this for a minute now. In fact, it just sits there, something even all branded. Anyway. It's very, very important. Number one, to express what the benefit is, but also don't speak in general terms. If you work with me, the film is going to, not when I get funding, that's your business about the funding, that's not theirs, that's yours. When I get the film made, it's going to go to an audience of X. Speak in specifics. People DM me, Kubi, I want you to do branding with me, I want to partner with you, I've got a great platform. What does that mean? Versus, Kubi, I want to do business with you. I've got a dedicated platform of women and 1,000 people that I know would like to come to your networking event. You think I'm not going to say yes? See the specifics? Okay, next question. Please give me a time check, otherwise, honestly, I will stand here and then I'll start charging you. Next question.
Hi, my name is Michelle Dowse.
Where am I looking? Oh, hello. Yeah.
Hi. I'm going to go into marketing. How can I make my CV stand out from every other competition, anyone else that's competing for any position that I'm trying to get?
Okay, good. So I'm glad, Michelle, that you corrected your language. But don't fake it till you make it. That's another thing. I put a post on IG the other day.
Hey podcast listeners, thanks for listening, and thanks for my special guest, and thanks for clicking the play button. But I need you to do 4 things for me. I want you to like, comment, subscribe and share this content. It will help tremendously with the growth of this podcast, and I'm producing more content than ever, so I want you guys to be the first to know, and I want others to know as well. So do those 4 things for me and help this podcast grow to a bigger platform. Thanks for listening.